Good evening, everybody. Wow, look at all of you out there. This is fantastic. This is just fantastic. I want to welcome all of you to our Christmas Eve candlelight communion service here at Squim Community Church. We are just pleased to be able to do this for you tonight. If you've heard me up here before, you know that I have a number of times talked about, I think all of us are family. We are all the Christian family of this church. We are church family. And so what we would like to do tonight is to take our family on a journey. And on a journey that is going to start with the hint of a Messiah. The hint of a Savior coming into this world. The hint of Jesus. And moving from there all the way to the birth of Jesus and the salvation of our world. That's the journey that I want us to go on tonight. That's the journey that I want everyone in this congregation, member, family member visiting, visitors for the first time, and all of you on live stream. That is the journey I want us to go on. And we're going to do this way. We are going to do it through scripture readings, which will happen over there in the choir loft. We're going to do it through music, which is us singing to you, all of us singing together. And we're going to start out with lighting of our Advent candle, our last Advent candle. And this is going to be done by the Godwin family. And Christy is our, if you don't know, Christy is our music director here at this church. And this is her awesome looking family. So go right on.
All right. I think it's going to be up here for me because I don't actually have it in my hand.
You don't have your reading? Okay.
No. It...
All right, then. Let's light the final candle. All right. Thank you very much. So now we will go to our first.
Oh, we do have it. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we have it now. All right.
And Kathy.
The Lord will provide.
Right. That's our scripture.
Isaiah 9, 2 and 6 through 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
All right. Thank you. Now, can I get you all to stand, please? And we're going to sing the first of our two songs up front, O Come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
O come, the day spring come and cheer.
Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now his gracious kingdom.
Alone by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious home. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Raise us to thy glorious throne.
Be seated.
We're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. It goes like this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
For the mercy
together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
Luke 2, 1-7 says, in that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Aquarius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral town to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. And because there was no lodging available for them,
where your journey ends,
answered prayer. Emmanuel, you're almost,
almost there.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Will you all rise, please? Hark, the herald angels sing.
Herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Behold him come, offspring of the Virgin.
humanity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give him second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
We adore you,
be seeing a video now, which should come up in a minute.
Nope,
we're not going to see a video now. All right, then we are going to hear the Christmas message, kind sir.
Okay.
Let's have a Christmas message.
I like your red
sweater. Let's thank those leading us tonight. Thank you very much. I'll wait for you. Something that not everybody knows about me, but some do. I was a lifeguard in college. And one of the things that you're taught as a lifeguard, amongst other things having to do with first aid, your job and your number one job is to rescue and save anyone who is in trouble. And you practice and you practice and you practice. I guarded a pool, the same pool, for 2 full years. And then one night, it was a Friday night, and it was late in the evening. There was one man swimming in the first lane. And he swam up and back and up and back. And then he got about 3/4 of the way away from me, and all of a sudden, he stopped. And he went under. And I thought, well, he knows how to swim. You know, maybe he just was relaxing or something like that, right? Well, people do that. And so I had him in my sight. I was watching him. He kind of came up, and he only got part of a breath, and then he went back down again. And it was then that I started for my towel and my visor. And sure enough, he didn't even make all the way up the third time, and he went under, and I knew it was my time to rescue him. I threw my stuff off, I jumped in the water, I swam over to him, I grabbed a hold of him, swam him from the deep end down to the shallow end, and then helped him go up the ladder up onto the pool deck, and I hustled up right behind him. And I remember I wanted to make sure that he was really okay. And so I asked him a few questions, and I grabbed a hold of his arm, thinking, well, that if he's really in trouble, he might faint or something like that. And as we took a few shuffles and then stopped for a second, he surprised me. He took his arm and he pulled it right out of my hands. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? I didn't need saving. I didn't need any help. I wasn't in any trouble. Now, for 2 years, I've watched people swim in a pool. I know when they're in trouble and when they're not in trouble. Especially on Friday night, I was dry. I didn't want to go in for a swim. And I knew that he was in trouble when he yanked his arm and he moved away from me and he looked back. I thought he was going to spit on me. He looked at me and he said, leave me alone. And off into the men's locker room he went. And I thought, wow, I got wet. I came over. I used all the skill that I had been trained to employ when someone was in trouble. I even swam you back to the shallow end and it helped you up the ladder. And what kind of thanks did I get? I wasn't in trouble. I didn't need any help. Well, Matthew tells us that Jesus came to save us. And that raises the question, how are we responding to Jesus' offer to be our Savior and our Lord? Now, it's okay to be in progress in your understanding about who Jesus was. The reality is God was born as a baby. Not in a palace, but in a cave. He lived a life just like we live as human beings, although he did do miraculous things. Now, if you didn't think that Jesus was human, just read the details of his crucifixion on the cross. And you'll understand that he was fully human. And then there's the resurrection. He clearly was the Son of God. Now, I get it. It's hard to get your arms around miracles. Yet you're stuck with Jesus with miracles. From his birth all the way through his adult life to his death and resurrection. Now, he came to be our Savior because we need saving from our sins. Now, most of us realize that we're sinners, but I've run into a few that are kind of like this with that idea. Well, what do you mean I'm a sinner? I don't need any saving. Yeah, we're sinners. We fall short of God's glorious ideal. Now, it's not as though we haven't tried to connect with God. I think all of humanity yearns to connect with God. But I believe in our human form, we're frustrated at trying to connect with the God that we worship, the God that we need, the God that is our Savior. And it isn't as though we haven't tried throughout history. But the reality is God had to become a human being. A transcendent, infinite God chose to become finite and dwell as you and I do. In fact, not a privileged upbringing either, but as common as any human being. The reality of Jesus is that God came to this earth so that we would be connected with God. And that we could take advantage of all the things that God wants to do for us. He wants to be our Savior. It's interesting how Jesus goes about declaring what it means to have him be your Savior. Well, it might seem a little scary that God wants to be our Savior. Is he going to punish me? Is he going to take my sins out and make me pay? No, not at all. Luke reminds us that Jesus came to forgive our sins. Oh, he did come to take away the sins of the world. He came to take away our sins. And he does that through forgiveness, not through condemnation or making us feel more guilt and shame. The truth is we need to get rid of the guilt and the shame that we carry around. And I believe the only way to do that is to confess our sins. And as we confess those sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And John says that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, we got to decide about a baby in a manger. He was the Son of Man, he was also the Son of God. And we not only have to decide about him, but we have to decide about our own sin, which made it necessary for God to become human and dwell with us. It was the only way that he could bring true forgiveness. And how does he bring that true forgiveness? By making us pay, by punishing us, by heaping guilt and shame upon us, just the opposite. The amazing truth about Christianity is that God is willing to give his life for the worshiper. God came. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He did that to be our Savior. He did that to really be our friend. The amazing thing about Jesus is Jesus knows everything about you. He knows all of your faults and failures, all your shortcomings. And he still wants to be your friend. He wants to do the very best thing for you. He wants to be the Savior who takes away your sins. And he did that by dying on the cross for our sins. Yeah, that's the way the Jews did it. They would sacrifice for their sins, and Jesus was our sacrifice for our sins. He's the one that resurrected, and he promises as we believe in him and accept him, we too will resurrect. Yeah, we have to decide whether or not we think we need saving. Maybe we have moments where we do that to Jesus. But I'll tell you this, if we didn't need saving, he wouldn't have come, just like I wouldn't have gotten the water on that Friday night. We are at times are in more trouble than we realize. And that's true in terms of the gap between us and eternity. But it's also true about all those things that try to hold us back and hold us down in this world. David in Psalm 118, verse 14, says that God made me a victor, a winner. And God does want to make us a winner. A winner in our day-to-day life and a winner in eternity. He came to be the Savior of the world. The question tonight is he your Savior? Yeah, we believe in God, many of us do, but do you know the God that you believe in? Yeah, do we know God? Do we recognize all that he did for us to save us? To help us be victorious, to have hope and wholeness in this world. And then realizing that we don't need to fear death. Because as he resurrected, we will resurrect as well. On this night, we do go from the baby Jesus born in a cave to Jesus who died upon the cross, a very human death, and yet a very miraculous resurrection. Jesus gathered the disciples around the table. What I love about who was around the table is, you know, it really wasn't a varsity team. There were a few smart people around the room, but you know, most of the people at the table were all just like you and me. And they didn't understand everything that was about to happen, but Jesus did. And so Jesus wanted to have one more meal with them so that he could assure them that what was up ahead was God's will, God's plan, the way that God could show his love to the world and show his love to them and us. On that night, he took the bread and he broke it. and he said, "This is my body broken for you. If you take your all-in-one and you peel back the top layer. And if you need a little help, ask, because I had trouble the last time I used one of these." And then peel back the next layer, and you'll see the cup. He took the cup and he gave thanks, and he said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." Wow, a God that's willing to give his body and give his blood. He does that because he's the Savior of the world. And he does that because he wants to be our Savior. You know, it's interesting to see how all the different people in the birth of Jesus, how they respond. Right? The shepherds were amazed. Joseph was perplexed. Mary pondered. I think maybe the innkeeper had a few second thoughts about putting the God of the universe who came to save the world out in a stable to be born in a manger. I hope you are amazed at Jesus and what he wants to do for you and for me. I hope you ponder who the baby Jesus is. Who is the man Jesus that died upon the cross? And it's okay to be a little perplexed. And out of that, we need to answer the question, who is the baby Jesus? God doesn't want us to go away feeling bad. He wants us to go away feeling good. It is John 3:16. Isn't it? God so loved the world and each one of us that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
We are at the end of our journey, my family. We are at the manger. We are at Jesus. And can you all please stand and let's sing Away in the Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
The caterpillar lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay. Children in thy tender care, and
and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
Lighting. If you are the one with the lit candle, you can lean over your candle. If you're getting your candle lit, if you would hold it straight up and down, that will keep wax off of you and our brand new carpet. Thank you. Oh, the other way around? Yeah, that's what I mean.
Reverse that, yeah. All of us here at SCC want to wish you a very meaningful and a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Pastor Scott.
Yes. You're very well known.
Thank you. Great to have you with us. Thank you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I need to find some fun at all.
Right behind me.
In the burgundy. Right. Yes, now I remember her. I haven't seen her.